This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. No, thank you very much for having me on, Peter. It's good to see you again.
Always good to have you on. Always good to chat. And you can get Lewis, there are his handles for his site, and also Grit News, which we'll mention in a moment. But I just want to mention to our viewers and listeners that we have all our t-shirts at £12, and that includes UK delivery. If you're abroad, I think it's like you might pay a fiver. I know we've had a number of orders from the States, but heartsofoak.org/shop. And obviously, buying a t-shirt, you do get a beautiful t-shirt. That's one of the designs. But of course, by doing that, you can support our work. You can, of course, go to donor box and click on that donate tab at the top of the website. But if you want something out of it, your money, not just wonderful content and Lewis's a beautiful face, but you can buy a t-shirt and wear that. By doing that, you're supporting us. So thank you for all of you who have done that. And this is Saturday. Any orders we get in over the weekend, we will endeavor to get out on Monday. So it should be with you next week. And Lewis has a new venture, a new initiative. Do you want to share that with us, Lewis, before we jump into the stories?
Sure. Well, I've started my own news/media company called Grit News with a good friend of mine, Jake Maverick, who's been really vocal for the last couple of years, as have I, during the absolute madness that we know to be COVID. And we've decided to team up because we've been shouting and screaming online for so long. And we thought, right, well, it's time to sort of combine our minds together and start something. And so we've come up with Grit News. You can find us currently on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Telegram whilst we build a website. And then, of course, we're going to be doing documentaries. We're going for big long format videos. And our goal really is to make your voice heard, is one, and is to really call out the corruption that we've seen, not only from the past couple of years, but the forever corruption is what we call it, because there is forever corruption. And so we just thought we'd butt heads together and start a brand new outlet in the UK. We believe that there is a gap in the market here for some good quality alternative news. It's quite saturated in America, but it's good to see that there are people really, really trying to get their voices out there. So we've thought, well, why not? Let's give it a go.
Sounds good. We will certainly follow that. People can obviously at grit_news. The links are all in the description. Certainly if you're watching on Rumble or if you're watching on BitChute, certainly on Getter, I believe on Twitter, all the links are there. So make sure and follow Lewis, see what he's up to. You can even follow his Substack, your writings.
Yes. I haven't written for quite a while, so apologies. But yeah, you can go to Substack, my name. You can find it pretty easily. And yeah, I should really write more.
The more signing up, the more he will write, he promises. But no, it's always good to have new ventures. As you said, Lewis, it is a lot of different individuals in the States, a lot of products, and we on the UK don't seem to have that range. So the more the merrier. Sounds good. Let's pick up our first story. Let me just look over on Getter. Tractor George is first on. Evening, Peter. Villain 82, good evening, chaps, from Brown Hills, Walsall. Royal Black Ice. Hi, Peter, from the East Coast of the US on Getter. Love merch. Great. You can get hold of whatever you like on the website, heartsofoak.org/shop. And Julie says, hello. Great to have you. Do drop your comments in. We'll try and pull some of them in as we go along, but don't want to take away from Lewis's wisdom, input, and knowledge of what's been happening. And let's start with the holy month of Pride. This is, I was over in Heathrow, as I am a plane buff, and sometimes I go to Heathrow just to sit and work because it's beautiful watching the runway and watching the planes come in. And as I went into Heathrow, I was confronted with this that you have to walk under, I guess, and receive the trans blessing or whatever it is as you walk under it. Lewis, tell us your thought. I've seen many different images and pictures all parts of the world of institutions, organizations, individuals falling over themselves to see who can be as gay or as trans or as two-spirit as possible. How do you view this time of the month?
Well, I'd like to say well done for getting through the first day. We've got 29 more to go. Of course, this corporate, we know what Pride's about now. It's got nothing to do with being gay, being lesbian, bi or whatever. It's a transnational corporate lobby group now, and that's what it's all about. So we're going to see lots of this continuously throughout the month, and then obviously after. The corporations, they don't really care, let's be honest. Doesn't matter where you sit with it all, they don't really care. They're there to just make a lot of profit, and the irony is that people have bought into it. So I think I saw as well the meme that's been floating around. I'm not 100% sure if it's real. I need to double check, but it's the one where it has all the new LGBT flag across London, and it looks strikingly similar to 1930s when it has its draped throughout the street. And I'm looking at it going, wow, like, how do you not see that this is just crazy? It's just mad.
Everywhere. I mean, when I was walking through Westminster the other day, I could see it outside the Westminster City Hall, I think, have it there. But it is everywhere you turn. I was in going into whatever shops and they have it outside. And it's strange how it comes up every month. Again, you don't normally, when you walk in Easter time, have a whole thing on the roof of institutions celebrating Easter, the most important time in the Christian calendar, and yet it's falling over themselves for this. So, but yeah, we see it every year, don't we, Lewis?
Yeah, every year, absolutely. And, you know, we're starting to see less and less of Christian holidays, especially in England. And of course, the state of Church of England these days is, you know, I mean, it's laughable. But yeah, expect more. So this is only day one. So expect plenty more sickening rainbow flags being shoved down your throat everywhere you walk. So good luck.
Yep. Hopefully we'll all make it through to July, which isn't anything weird. I think that's just a normal summer month, but we'll see what they introduce by the end of the month. It was interesting seeing this story at the beginning. I kind of posted not a very good start to Pride. A Labour MP, Garant Davis, from Wales. He was suspended over sexual harassment allegation. I think it was Politico that first broke this, and there seems to be a long line of individuals claiming all different inappropriate behaviour. This was the Guardian headline. There were five women. I think that's gone up considerably since 2 days ago or whatever. I no longer know what to call people. He's heterosexual, but he's been massively supportive of not just LGBT rights, but the whole agenda being forced down all our throats. But I guess it's another, my thoughts on this were, well, the Tories normally get up to this. It's good to have Labour joining in, but obviously there are people affected. But what were your thoughts on another sex scandal?
Well, I mean, it's a drop in the ocean when it comes to Westminster, isn't it? We've seen this over the generations. And I mean, it's really sad that you see stories like this and they don't make the front page news. I mean, obviously, we've been having to endure the Schofield scandal for the past week. And what a scandal. unbelievable to see that people are, of course, jumping on defending that as well. But it's funny how this, you get one spread on The Guardian and that's it. And that's all I've seen personally. I don't know, I could be incorrect. But my view is it's a drop in the ocean when it comes to Parliament and Westminster. So, yeah, another one to add to the list. It's very, very shocking. Well, I say shocking. It's now, yeah, you know what I mean. It's just becoming just...
run of the mill.
Yeah, unbelievable. And it's just... I don't know why there seems to be some sort of weird culture or something within Westminster of doing all of this. Didn't we see a Tory MP, was it last year or the year before, that was even watching pornography within Westminster? Do you remember that?
Well, I mean, it was a tractor porn or was it real porn?
Oh, that was it. He said it was tractor. He was looking at tractors online, but really he was looking at Pornhub. I mean, what is going on in that building? They're supposed to be passing laws. They're supposed to be representing the people that elect them, but they're sitting around watching porn and groping each other. It's madness. It's a madhouse, a complete circus.
The weird thing was that he took over, reading a little bit about, he took over the Commons Welsh Affairs Committee, and he took that over from the Tory MP Neil Parish, who was into his tractor fetishes. So... yeah, maybe they just pick up the baton and carry on with some other type of fetish. I don't know.
No comment.
But yeah, it certainly is. It keeps happening, and no amount of exposure. I'll move on. Sorry, I don't mean any puns.
Well, right, I've got that pun now. Yeah, I've got that.
But yeah, you're right. It's what I guess would be shocking whenever you first look into maybe politics actually just becomes the norm and the acceptors. And I actually feel for, because I started working in the Lords in my mid-30s, and I talked to interns basically, those just out of uni and started, and life is so tough. They are really, they do whatever they're told to do, whether it's working crazy hours or whether it's inappropriate behavior, whatever, because they just want to get on that ladder. And it's sad that they are taken advantage of, I guess, whenever all they want is to get involved in politics and that's their career ladder. And yet there are these hurdles in place. So it's, yeah, it's depressing.
Very depressing, yeah. I can imagine.
Well, let's move on to... this was I saw your YouTube. You watched this and gave comment. And oh no, sorry. Actually, no. This wasn't this. Could we? Actually, it was the Andrew Tate. The links are in the description. I'll not bring it because I'm not going to play it all. And I watched it. I watched first the clips and then I watched the full interview. This Andrew Tate being interviewed by the BBC, and you said absolute train wreck, so you decided to watch it. Andrew Tate's an interesting character, and I've kind of been on the sidelines trying to understand, one, what he is about, but yet you made the absolute normal comment, why on earth would he subject himself to a BBC interview? But you watched it. Well, what were your thoughts on it?
So... I'm not a fan of Andrew Tate to start with. I'm not a big fan personally, although I do acknowledge that he has said some good things in the past regarding masculinity. Yep. But the cam girl stuff and the degeneracy, no, that's not something you should be promoting to young men. And of course, I'm a Christian, so of course we're going to differ on faith because he is now converted to Islam. But when I watched that interview... because I'm quite interested in Andrew Tate. I do like to watch some of his stuff just to, you know, just for entertainment purposes and just to listen, because it's something to, you know, to indulge in. But when I sat and I watched that interview, I was sitting there thinking, A, why did he decide to take this damn interview? Because we know what the BBC are like, especially with their reporters and the way they set up things. They sent him a bunch of questions and said, we're going to talk about how you were in jail, unfairly and how you're incarcerated unfairly without charge and that you've been in prison in a box cell for a long time. And we wanted to talk about that. They didn't speak about any of that. They just went and started bringing up the court case. The journalist or the reporter even tried to bring up testimonies during a live case. And I sat there and I thought, you can't do that. I'm pretty sure you can't do that. And they jumped in and stopped and said, you can't. It's a live case. You can't be talking about that. But to me, it just confirms how ridiculous the BBC are and how that they're not a serious news company anymore. That they're too worked up. They bring their emotion to the interviews that they do, no matter who it is. You need to. I didn't even go to journalism school, but I know that you need to have some sort of composure when you're dealing with high profile cases, especially where it's a big area. Like, for example, if you're interviewing people that are allegedly under criminal investigation for human trafficking, rape, things like that. You need to keep a sense of composure if you're going to interview someone and some professionalism. And it's unbelievable to me to sit here and watch this woman, Lucy, I think Williamson, I think her name is, sat there with Andrew Tate and just constantly was throwing things out of context at him that didn't stick. And even someone who's not a fan of Tate, I knew that they were out of context. I knew that what she was trying to do is just throw anything at him to try and make it stick. And it was just so unprofessional. It was so embarrassing because it's the BBC. It's supposed to be our state broadcaster. So we need to defund the BBC. We need to bring it back to, when I say bring it back, we need to turn it into a subscription-based model and not a taxpayer model. And if the defund the BBC guys want to do some work, hit me up. I'm more than happy to help out with any campaigns because we need a fresh start with the BBC. They need to be catching up with everyone else now because it is unbelievably embarrassing what they were doing.
It is, and actually, I kind of thought the BBC would give him the time because if someone is so guilty as he's been accused of, then he's going to hang himself in a long interview. He's going to say something stupid. And I know Andrew Tate comes across as an extremely smart guy, articulate, is able to argue his case. But if you're in an interview, you let the person speak, you let them incriminate himself. And yet she gave him sometimes just seconds to answer before coming in. And it seemed to be badgering, and you're right. When I watched it, I thought she came off much worse for her style. And yet they could have got something much more and maybe got to the bottom of some of it, but it didn't seem they wanted to.
No, absolutely not. She clearly came in with an agenda. She clearly came in because she hated him. She did not like him. You could tell by her body language and the way she spoke and the way she started the interview. And then I read the article that she wrote up with the clips of Andrew Tate. And it was supposed to be, the BBC claims it's this impartial news outlet. And they're not. They're completely not. And, you know, we just need to acknowledge that this does not represent being British or the British people who subscribe to the BBC, because that's not what journalism is about. That's not really how we should conduct or do things, especially from a great country like ours. And it's just sad, really. It's just unbelievably sad. And like I said earlier, I didn't go to journalism school, you know, to be then put into the mainstream media camp and then become basically a propagandist, basically an informant. It's just embarrassing. And, you know, they should do better.
Really is. Let's move on to a much bigger scandal, one that's got minuscule coverage, really. And this is the Daily Mail exclusive, the Jeffrey Epstein files. Trove of never before seen emails and calendars gives unprecedented insight into late paedophiles' network of power and influence. That includes Chris Rock, Peter Thiel, Richard Branson, and it goes on. His connections with presidents, prime ministers, royalty. I mean, how have we've obviously seen Ghislaine Maxwell go to jail. I mean, as you've watched what's kind of transpired with this whole sorry affair, what are your thoughts on kind of the issue in media reporting?
Media reporting's been it's been shocking because there's been hardly any of it. And it seems to me that the Daily Mail is one of the very few that's actually churning out stories about this. And it's a real big shame because this is a huge case. This is a big high-profile case with very high-profile people. I mean, even those three there, Peter Thiel, Chris Rock and Richard Branson, being on these emails, I mean, that shouldn't that be mainstream media wall-to-wall coverage? But it's just, I don't get it. I don't get why the mainstream media aren't jumping all over it. Surely that should be one of the biggest news cycles of the month. But no, nothing, absolutely nothing. We saw recently that Jeffrey Epstein went to dinner with Bill Gates and had been trying to convince him to talk to JP Morgan to set up some sort of fund. And that got nothing. That got hardly anything. I think me and Jake, when we were looking for stories, we just sort of came across that on the Daily Mail. And it was like, okay, right, well, this needs to be put out because no one else is doing it. And it's just been shocking. And it's shocking, but I'm not shocked, if that even makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I just expect this now from mainstream media outlets. And the Jeffrey Epstein case is a huge case. Massive case filled with so many people, but I don't know what's going on there. I'm not going to talk conspiracy because I can't prove it, but it is very odd that the mainstream media and a lot of mainstream outlets aren't covering this as much. And they used to ban people. Well, I say they, meaning mainstream media, places like Twitter would ban certain profiles that are talking about the case. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if there's an agenda at put. There must be, but I can't prove it, so I'm not going to go fully into it and, you know, die on that hill. But quite clearly, there is something weird going on.
It is, and I've always been confused at why the focus is on Prince Andrew. That seems to be in their target hairs, and yet the whole Bill Gates connection, and it seems to be this one of the reasons why Bill Gates' marriage collapsed, because of his time with Epstein. But then even this, it goes, so it says one of the things, so many issues, but one, Jess Staley, who was head of JP Morgan in the early 2010s, met Epstein 31 times at one of the, and obviously Epstein had a lot of money, a lot of finance, a lot of wealth, and no one really is very sure. But it's probably the first time that we've ever seen such a high-profile crime, and seemingly no one actually was carrying out. I mean, a whole string of a whole island basically servicing many, many high-profile individuals, and yet none of them are guilty. So how can you say that there was prostitution happening or this with underage girls, and yet there were no individuals actually carrying out the act? It's so strange.
It is so strange. So that does lead me into believe that there is some sort of conspiracy happening, that there is money floating around, black money floating around to sort of shut people up, which is so wrong because the public can see it. When that story broke about Epstein, it just blew up. Everyone was just talking about it. It was the biggest thing. Then all of a sudden, months later, it's only in circles on Twitter are the people that are still speaking about this the most. And it's shocking. This should be, like I just said earlier, this should be wall-to-wall coverage. But we're not going to see it. And that leads me to believe that, there's definitely something going on. And it's very concerning, not only from a journalistic perspective, but from a truth-finding perspective. You know, we need to bring all of these people to justice, whether it be Prince Andrew, whether it be if these alleged people are part of this sinister island happening. It's sick, disgusting, and people, there's so many people that need to be held accountable, and the media need to step up and say, right, we need to talk about this, and we need to cover this wall to wall. But they won't.
They won't. We'll move on. But I think it's less the word conspiracy you brought, but I think it's just sheer blackmail and threats. Yeah. I mean, Epstein suddenly died in his cell. So it's a warning to anyone if they speak up that actually you could suffer a similar fate. But no one wants to go up against the rich and powerful and have their life destroyed. I think it was blackmail as a, because conspiracy sometimes, we're all down the conspiracy rabbit hole. So that's fine, Lewis. We'll share it together.
I meant it in terms of they're conspiring together to prevent this coming out. Not as in, you know, lizard people or anything like that. You
know what I mean? Moving on. It's looking at vaccines, and this is a huge, again, it should be a huge story. And you look at Twitter, and it's trending massively, although the mainstream, you're not really picking it up. And Lewis, you put, this is about Jimmy Fox left paralyzed and blind from blood clot on his brain after receiving COVID-19 vaccine. It's the same headline. This is OK Magazine. I wouldn't expect OK Magazine to come out and actually call out something negative about the vaccines. But you said it's safe and effective. It was one of the biggest lies to have ever been told by governments, the media, and the establishment. And it's heartbreaking that millions of others have been shunned for speaking out against the dangers of this mRNA poison. It's sad that someone takes this, seemingly forced to take it because of filming requirements, and now his life could be destroyed.
Yeah, absolutely. So this story came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and when we saw it, I thought, wow, what? They've gone straight to the vaccine. And that was the biggest, like, okay, what's going on here? So immediately had to double check it, had to completely go through it back to front just to make sure. And it was a Hollywood journalist that is close to the Fox family that came out and said this. That's the source. And that was surprising in itself, that a Hollywood journalist would come out and say it publicly. Because usually Hollywood, as we know, that sort of crowd of LA journalism is very much catered towards particular agendas and ideologies, right? So to see someone from that ilk come out and say all of these things was weird. It was very odd. But apparently it's still rumors, apparently. But if a Hollywood journalist that is very close with the family comes out and writes a full spread about Jamie Foxx being paralyzed and blind due to this, then, I mean, he's got a pretty strong court case coming up if that's a complete lie, because that wouldn't look good. So, yeah, it's absolutely shocking. Like I said in the tweet, people have been shunned for years now for even talking about this. And even now, to even talk about, people to talk about the vaccine and the damages, people are still being censored, people are still being deplatformed, and people are still being ostracized in groups and called a conspiracy theorist and all of this stuff. And it's sad. It's really, really, really sad.
Yeah, it really is. I think I first came across it, we had Dr. McCulloch on a couple of weeks ago, but I think a week before he came on, he alluded to, I think he's known Jimmy Fox or the family, and he alluded to it, and I saw it being dismissed, and it seems to have come out. Truth is normally stranger than fiction, we find out, so the truth does out in the end, but certainly something to watch. Let's move on to censorship. And this is this. It is a weird story. And this is Jeremy Boring, who is the head of Daily Wire, and talking about Twitter cancelling a deal with Daily Wire to premiere What Is a Woman, which is going to be free, come out a year ago. It was going to be free all over the weekend. Then they decided to not have it because it misgenders. They hadn't seen it, obviously. And actually, the reason I signed up for Daily Wire was 6 months ago, I think, I actually paid an annual fee, was to watch this. I hadn't got around to watch it until more recently. And it is a fantastically put together film. I mean, just the filming on it is phenomenally well done. And obviously, Daily Wire, a big operation. But it's crazy that this was agreed with Twitter, and then they wanted to actually restrict it, put censorship on it, for asking the question, what is a woman? Which obviously you can't find. Continued censorship, even on Twitter, which we're told doesn't have it anymore. But what, when you saw this, what were you thinking?
Oh, well, I was quite, there's so many weird stories coming out, right? That just makes you go, why is this happening? So when I saw this, I was surprised, considering I thought that Elon Musk said that the bird is free, and that free speech is rife on Twitter now, and you can say what you like, and, oh, no, you don't have to worry about being perma-banned for misgendering or anything like that. From what I know now is Elon then came out and said it was a complete mistake that this had happened.
Yeah.
That when they were in contact with Twitter, I believe someone has been fired now.
Yep.
I forgot her name. But she was part of Twitter's, is it support? I need to double check on that. But someone is now being fired as a consequence of this. But I tried to watch the film. I've already seen it. I've already seen it like two or three times because it's fantastic. It's a fantastic documentary. And if you haven't seen What Is a Woman, definitely go and watch it. But I tried to watch it on Twitter, and the banning on it, the shadow banning, was just so grotesque. Like, you couldn't do anything. You literally couldn't do anything with it other than just sit and just press play. You couldn't share it. You couldn't do anything. So it was really gross to see that a very important documentary was being censored like that. And yeah, it's a very, very odd story, but they've had a to and fro with Musk, and I need to double check who it was, but someone has been fired for this supposed mistake.
It was, the name was Ella Irwin.
Ah, okay.
One of the, and I'm not sure exactly what part, but it does seem to, according to Musk, seem to be a mistake, and you're right, massively promoted it, said you need to, he said every parent needs to watch this. Right. And yeah, it's I even had my older boy watch it, and he was like, not only was it well done as a film, which kind of pulls you in, but his Matt Walsh's kind of deadpan attitude.
Oh, so deadpan.
It's like Louis Theroux. It's kind of that style. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's so good, and it's so effective because it's his facial expressions is just so just blank, and it's weirdly effective. And he gets people to say things. Same with Louis Theroux, like you mentioned, great example. But it's a fantastic documentary. When that came out, I was sharing it with loads of people. I thought it was brilliant. Very important.
It is. And halfway through, just for anyone who hasn't seen it, you need to watch it, and you find out what tribes in Kenya think of non-binary and women with penises. So it's fascinating to watch their response. And they say, basically, we've never heard such things. So you have to go that far away to find truth. And that was intriguing. But yeah, everyone needs to watch it. I think it's free all weekend, or just pay for a subscription on Daily Wire, and it's well worth supporting. What Ben Shapiro, who I don't agree on everything, but what he's built there is phenomenal. So let's go over to the WHO. And I hadn't seen this story until I looked back at your tweets, Lewis. And this is the composition of the board of the WHO. And people can go to the website and look at the executive board. And on that, North Korea, has been, not that I was trying to fact check you, Lewis, but North Korea has officially been elected to the WHO executive board, and you say where the country will be able to delegate a representative to the World Health Assembly, and then it joins other bastions of free speech and liberty like Afghanistan, Yemen, China, Syria, Ukraine. What could go wrong with North Korea being part of the board of the WHO, Lewis?
I mean, could it be the massive human rights issues that they've got going on over there since the birth of North Korea? It was almost like something out of The Interview. Yeah. If you've seen that film with James Franco and the other bloke. It was unbelievable to see. But do you know what? We live in clown world, Peter, where anything sort of goes now. This is now the new sort of clown pill to take, seeing North Korea, Afghanistan and all of them and Ukraine on something like the World Health Assembly is unreal. I don't know what North Korea are going to contribute to the World Health Assembly. So I'll be definitely keeping a close eye on what they decide to do and decide to pitch to the meetings. But I'm sure it's going to be quite interesting, to say the least.
I'm sure Rocket Man will bring something. So I don't know what, but chaos and confusion, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of confusion.
Well, let's bring this up about the WHO powers. And this is a story in the Telegraph. It's been, the WHO obviously met in Geneva, mm-hmm. 10 days ago. And this is the WHO could gain powers to impose lockdown on UK. And many people have been saying this for months. And I'm glad the Daily Telegraph have finally caught up to what many of us have been saying. Always good when the mainstream media catch up. And suddenly, they're worried about what may happen. MPs fear a new treaty designed to increase the organization's powers would enable it to enforce border closures and vaccine passports. And it kind of, Lewis, it enforced, sometimes you think, actually, that maybe the WHO aren't as evil as maybe they're made out to be. And then you come across this and you realize, nope, we were right. Yeah. But yeah, WHO, what are your thoughts?
Well, the pandemic treaty has been something that I've campaigned against before and still continue to now. I think the idea of giving unelected bureaucrats this unbelievable amount of power to impose restrictions on countries, and these people weren't even elected by the people. So it makes me laugh, right? Because when Brexit happened and we supposedly left the EU, which we didn't do, and it's just been an absolute shambles. We've now got another organization that we need to leave. We need to completely exit out of the WHO. We need to stop pandering around with this organization now, because the last couple of years have really woken people up to how emergency powers and how unelected bureaucrats can wield unprecedented power over sovereign beings within countries in the West, especially. And the idea that we are still in this kind of horrific organization, which I've been to Geneva before to report outside of there, and it's a weird place. It really is a weird building. I don't see the value in staying in the WHO now after what's happened in the past couple of years. The idea that these people can just implement lockdowns onto the UK if another pandemic happens is just ludicrous. It's unbelievably ludicrous. And the last couple of years now, I think now, if it did come around, I think there will be more people out in the streets to say, no, we're not doing this again. We've done this before. We're not falling for it again. I think the vast majority of people will actually turn around and say, no, thanks. So it's just now a case of people being vigilant, to how the media are going to spin something and how the propaganda is going to infect people's minds again. So to summarize, we need to exit the WHO, in my view. I don't see it as a valuable organization anymore. And they wield way too much power over sovereign nations within the West.
Yeah. Well, carrying on what we've had in COVID, and this is the You Put Out on Great News, and it's people can obviously make sure and follow. And this is one of the graphics. Story from Israel, and according to new data from Israel's Ministry of Health, who were Israel was probably one of the most aggressive proponents of lockdown and forced jabs, all of that, but zero decreased of 18 to 49 years of age with no underlying morbidities, and zero, this is the interesting quote, zero is a very, very clear number and cannot be subject to interpretation, and that's in the kind of report. But if it seemed that, children were not dying from this, even in Israel that pushed the Pfizer jab, and it was only one jab there, to such a degree. The information is now coming out years later that actually children were not affected. And I guess, Lewis, it's no surprise, because what many of us have been saying for a number of years.
Absolutely. What's interesting about this as well is, so this was an article originally by, and I credited right at the bottom of the thread, of a guy called Zero Hedge, who's been, an outlet called Zero Hedge that have been really pushing some really, really great journalism on things such as COVID and lockdowns and many other things. And the Ministry of Health actually replied after they put this article out showing the data from the Ministry of Health in Israel. And then they actually replied and said, no, this is fake news. And it was like, so you're saying your own statistics are fake news? Like, it's just a mess. It's just an absolute mess. You're the ones that put this out. There have been journalists within the article that have really tried to get into the statistics, tried to really dissect it, because it's a lot of work. It's a big number crunch. But to go through it and to, of course, interpret, and to get health professionals, I mentioned in that little graphic there about a specialist in internal medicine and medical management, they go through it as well, and just to obviously double check and make sure. And it's clear. It's so clear as day. Yet the Ministry of Health in Israel turned around and said, no, it's fake. This is completely a fabricated story. It's your own statistics. What are you doing? It's a mess, to summarize.
It really is. This is another story on that from the UK. We'll get it in a moment. And this is the government to take legal action against COVID inquiry over Johnson's WhatsApps. And they bring this up. This is really interesting, because I've been trying to work out what exactly is the state of play, that it seems as though Boris released everything redacted to one government department, and now the government themselves are taking legal action to block it. Lewis, I'm sure we're both curious at what's in it.
Yes, I'm very curious. I'll tell you what is strange, is they're trying to pass the online safety bill, right, which can monitor people, and it's looking to, of course, deplatform many people on social media platforms, but also there's a lot of things involving WhatsApp. And the irony is that Boris won't allow his own inquiry to read his messages. So I want to know now what's going on in these WhatsApp messages that he seems to hold so close to his chest. So I want to know. Let's hope that we get to see some kind of justice soon, because I think people are absolutely sick and tired. We know that there has been some massive conspiring going on, and people need to be told the truth. You can't just say that this is, you can't just lock people down like they did over the past couple of years, roll out this mRNA experimental, I want to say the word, I think we said it earlier, toxin.
Well, you can say it all. You can say death shot. You could say clot shot.
All of them wrapped up into one. Let's just say that. And then now they're being held accountable, hopefully. But it's interesting how, going back, that they want to implement the online safety bill, and that's really gonna do some invasive action on citizens within this country. Yet he won't even give up some WhatsApp messages because he knows that he's in the wrong. He knows there's something bad going there.
Exactly. Well, as usual, politicians don't think through legislation, and then the consequences come out. But, and of course, it'll be used against people like you and me, Lewis, and not against former prime ministers, I'm sure.
No,
but yeah,
absolutely not.
We started with Pride Month, and here's our second last story, and it is a beautiful story of Target. Over there in the US, you have it. We don't have it here. A massive store. And you'd posted the lovely news. Target has lost over $10 billion in market capitalization after boycotts due to the corporation's shocking satanic pride attire for children and tuck-friendly swimsuits. Now, there's just so much in those 2.5 lines. But when you look into it, this is what is happening, and it's madness that you have those on the left say this is some right-wing conspiracy. No, Alex Stein went and he tried the tuck, and it worked. But yeah, Target, they're getting what's due to them, aren't they?
Absolutely. And my question was, because we're starting to see a lot of corporations, a lot of these markets are really coming out and becoming, I don't like the term woke, I think that's an oversaturated word now. I want to say social revolutionary, right? They've all come out under this banner of social revolution and SJW. And it seems to be happening quite a lot. And I think a lot of people, including myself, were digging a little bit deeper into this. And yes, DEI and ESG seem to be taking over a lot of these corporate markets, especially Target, which has both of them. And DEI, by the way, is diversity, equity, and inclusion. ESG is economic. Here we go. No, environmentalism. It's environmentalism.
Something governance.
Governance, yeah. Something. Anyway, you know what it is. And what's interesting about that is a lot of these companies have been funded by the Open Society Foundations, which, as you know, is the head of the Open Society Foundations is George Soros. And that's what's fascinating, is that it all seems to link back to this one man when you follow the money in this sense. But Target, with their satanic pride attire that they've been pushing on children, which is unbelievable. I know that Target dropped the brand designer. Too late, sorry. Even having that in there in the first place is not going to look in your favor. America is a Christian country, so not going to tolerate that. And it's actually good to see that the boycotts are actually working, because, you know, it's always been a kind of a left-wing thing, really, boycotts. Yeah. You don't really hear much of the right doing it. But we're really starting to see a shift in attitude with this. But to me, I see it as the free market working. You know, you don't like something, you don't buy it. And you really say, no, I'm not going to pander to this. I'm not going along with this. This is wrong. And you really, you use your wallet in these times, because that's kind of the only way you can really fight back on our sort of level, is talk about it and use your wallet.
It really is. Before we jump on to our last story, sorry, lots of comments. I'll just call out a few of them. HW Logan, baseballs, Who else? USA 1864 says Zero Hedge is excellent, as it is. As is Royal Black Ice. Zero Hedge is excellent. I could DJS60. I'll not. I always get caught up, but it's thank you for your comments. Always good to look at them. But our last story is about fatism. Fatism. Right. So, fat people now officially a protected group in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams assigns discrimination law that puts obesity in the same category as race and religion. Now, I thought the vast majority, 99.9% of people, could choose their size. It depends kind of what goes in, the amount going in. I mean, it is basic biology. But What are your thoughts on the madness about fatness being protected? I don't know if skinniness is protected, but fatness now is.
Go to the gym, for crying out loud. Sort yourselves out. What is with this coddling? What is with this bubble wrapping? I always said, because I'm a millennial, right? And we're the most bubble wrapped generation, I think, ever. You know, we've been coddled. We've had everything, you know, put on our plates and just been coddled. And I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing stuff like this. But, oh my gosh, bring back shame, for crying out loud. Like, it's not good to be fat. It's unhealthy. You're dying. Like, it's not good. Why are we coddling to this? I mean, to happen in a place like New York is very unsurprising, especially it being a very blue state. But what is going on? I mean, we really are in clown world right now.
We really are. Whenever you're right, the health impacts, and there were. But then we saw, obviously, during the jabs, that you get your jab and you get a donut, and there were crazy things like that.
Fries as well. Did you see that with the mayor? He was eating the fries. Did you see that? Unbelievable.
Absolutely madness. Lewis, thank you for coming on. As always, certainly looking forward to watching Grit News. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that. And I guess people will be able to see more and more. I've seen a number of your videos going up, you yourself. But I guess as Grit News grows, there'll be more and more content on it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. Really looking to grow Grit News. We really want to be a big voice to the people that feel like they haven't been heard. And on top of that, we really want to bring to light a lot of the corruption that's going on. Me and Jake Maverick have really been talking about doing this for a while, and we're finally getting it done. So we're really excited, we're really positive, and we'd love to work with anyone. You know, if there are organizations out there, and we've already spoken about Hearts of Oak as well, doing something. But we'd love to work with people, and just we all have a common cause, right? It doesn't matter really if you're left wing or right wing. It really doesn't matter now, especially in Britain. It's not as polarized in America. But that being said, we have a common goal, right? And that's globalism, and that's corruption. So we're free. We're open to work with anyone, just to really sort of bring to light these very important stories. So I really appreciate it, Peter. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Not at all. And just to finish off, I'll just leave our viewers with two things. One is, I mentioned at the beginning, T-shirts. Those are two of the other ones. I support free speech and make Britain great again. There are many more on the website, so do go and have a look. And if I can just leave our viewers with a video just to bring a smile to your face, and it is this.
Complete silence.
It wasn't. Something was in the way, and he obviously hasn't learned to walk. But don't worry, America, you're in safe hands. Yeah. What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
It's the leader of the free world, that is. That's probably his worst fall yet. That's his worst one yet.
he's going. I mean, he's working on it, getting the best. So that's certainly. So what will come next? Well, we'll try and bring you whatever comes next. But on that, I will wish our viewers a wonderful rest of your evening in the UK. If you're watching elsewhere, so a number of you were on the East Coast, afternoon with you, wherever you're watching. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening after on Podbean or the podcasting apps, thank you so much for downloading. Have a great weekend wherever you are, however you're enjoying us. We will be back with you on Monday with Ed Dowd is joining us to look at his book, Excess Deaths, Cause Unknown, What Has Happened 2021 and 22. Fantastic book. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. He will be joining us to discuss what he found out and why he wrote it. So tune in for that. And on that, I wish you all a wonderful rest of your evening. Good night to you all.
Thank you.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.